Today is Sunday, May 31st, 2015, and this...
He walks up to me and goes, I bet you don't know what Vegas is really about. I was like, no, but I think this prince over here is going to tell me. He goes, it's actually about sex and money. Like, I was going to be like, but I thought Vegas was about unconditional love and eating organic and caring for someone into the winter of their life.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 505. Las Vegas,
Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little groggy.
Yeah.
Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic. Quick update on that. There's not really a lot to say about it, but for those who haven't heard, October 16th through 18th at the D Las Vegas, we're going to have our annual event with our pals at Vegas Tripping and Vegas Gang. It's going to be a great time. You can come and see us do the show live. There is a Facebook event page. We'd love to have you RSVP if you have not done so already. It's not required, but it's nice to know how many people are going to be there and who's going to be there and all that stuff. So... go on Facebook, search for VIMF, V-I-M-F-P, and you will find it, and you'll see some of the other fine folks who are going to be hanging out with us. You can also keep up with updates by following at VIMF on Twitter and by checking VegasInternetMafia.com for all the latest. There's a very, very, very preliminary itinerary agenda schedule up already. Just a couple items, opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies, main event. Mm-hmm. The holes will be filled in over the next several months.
Okay.
Looks like the opening ceremony is going to be at Golden Gate this year.
Oh, interesting.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Prohibition Bar is always a lot of fun.
Yes, it is. We've gotten into a lot of trouble there.
I don't know the specifics of it, but I have a feeling that people will be encouraged to toast each other with some sort of beverage, alcoholic or non,
yeah,
of their choice.
Hmm.
Just a hunch. I don't know why I feel that way, but usually alcohol is involved in the VIMF events.
Mm-hmm.
Kick things off with a bang. All right. So anyway, we hope to see you in October. It's going to be a good time. I thought I would also update people on the status of the book I've been working on for the past however long it's been. Way too long. So it's fairly written. Well, I hope it's better than fairly written. It's pretty much done. I've had a couple of my trusted advisors reviewing the book recently, and I've been incorporating some of their notes and changes, recommended changes and things like that. And I have a general layout template pretty well ready to go. So we're getting to that point where I'm going to be making it look pretty and getting
We do not make things look pretty.
We make things look
aesthetically pleasing and professional and easy to use. Making things look pretty is demeaning everything you do and everything graphic designers do and everything technical writers do. Fuck making it pretty.
Wow, where's this coming from?
Oh, I have had a long-held grudge against making it pretty.
Oh, right. We'll make it.
That phrase gives me rage, as you can see.
I guess. I've never seen this. This is a new one. Well,
oh.
Okay. I will make it look, nice. Wow. There's an outburst I did not expect. I learned something new about you this morning. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Anyway, we're at that point. I've talked to a couple people who've been through the self-publishing thing and gotten some advice, and I'm going to be figuring out the cover with a graphic designer friend of mine, and we're getting closer. So at that stage where it's like the last stretch of the marathon is the toughest, it's like, fucking come on.
You just want to be done with it?
I'm ready to be done with it. So
you're ready to let your baby leave the nest,
yeah,
so
I
to
guess
speak.
So. I think people like it. I'm pretty happy with where it's at, and I'm excited for them to read it. And I'm also, it's that weird whole thing, like, I'm really excited for people to see it, and then I'm also dreading.
You should have included this.
Yeah, I know that there's going to be, like, a handful of people who are like, you should have done this. And I'm like, well, yeah, I made choices, and these are the choices I chose.
Yep.
So, but anyway, I'm excited about it. It'll be fun. So that's that. What else? Any other housekeeping matters you wanted to cover other than anything else that you're upset about this morning that you want to rant about?
No, okay. I'm good.
There's really not a lot.
I'm sure something will come up that'll...
Oh, maybe. Jump in anytime if you have something that... Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot going on in Vegas news this week, and nothing that was really inspiring me to talk about it. A couple little things, but I was like, man, let's just skip the news. Fuck it. There's nothing that exciting.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's a new CEO at Downtown Grand. That's somewhat noteworthy. Seth Shore is moving into the chairman role. I'm not exactly sure what that means. So that's somewhat noteworthy. But
oh, and they removed the $3 blackjack stuff?
That's just speculation at this point. Okay. There have been some reports that the that promotion, well, I didn't think it was going to be this short of a promotion, but the late night $3 craps and blackjack thing may be no more. If anybody has a chance to check that out in the next week or so, let us know if indeed the $3 tables late night are gone. So yeah, that's Downtown Grand. Otherwise, you know, Matt Goss is doing four nights instead of three nights a week now. What is there to see? There's nothing to say about that.
Yet you're saying it.
Well, I'm just saying this is why we're not talking extensively about the news this week. That's okay. How dull it is. There's just nothing there. So anyway, we're just going to skip that. We're going to just do phone calls, have a tidy little show this week.
Well, sometimes you say we'll have a tidy little show, and then we go on a little tangent.
Am I the biggest hypocrite? Remember a few weeks ago when I was talking about phone calls and how whenever somebody says, I'll keep this short, uh-huh. It never is? I'm the number one culprit of that. Whenever I say it's going to be a tidy little show, it ends up being 6 hours long. That's not happening this week, I promise you. But
it'll just be three.
It'll just, I think, I'm going to guess, right now, jumping in, we're 7.5 minutes in, I'm guessing 33 minutes.
Okay.
Let's see where we end up. So before we get to phone calls, we got some other stuff. Let's start with our friends at...
Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right. Our friends and sponsors at Viator are back yet again, as they are every week, because they love us and we love them. As I mentioned last week, it's summer vacation time. You should go somewhere cool. Mm-hmm. Go somewhere awesome. Make it a great, memorable summer. One thing you want to keep in mind as you're thinking about your summer vacations and things you want to add to your trips to make them awesome via our friends at Viator, whether they are tours, attractions, adventures, helicopter trips, horseback riding, show tickets, whatever it might be, book early because some of the popular things do sell out, especially in the summer season. So there, you know, if you're thinking you want to take advantage of some of the skip the line passes at popular attractions, book as soon as you have dates ready for your trip because you don't want to miss out on that because that would be a shame. So just a friendly reminder from our friends at Viator. If you are planning a vacation, whether it's in Las Vegas or any major tourist destination, make Viator.com the place that you go to enhance your trip with all kinds of cool experiences. Of course, you can download their iOS and Android apps. You can find all the information at Viator.com. And as always, if you're going to book, please click through our link at 500bymidnight.com. And we will get bonus points, and you can let Viator know that you found them through us, and that would be awesome. Thank you, as always, to Viator. We love you. We really do love you, Viator. You've been with us so long, and
yes. I
feel like we have a very close relationship. And it's not just like at this point. It's not lust. It's love. Do you feel the same about our three-way with Viator?
Sure. We're in it for the long haul.
I hope they are. All right.
I'm watching the dog to see... what he's doing. I think he wants to lay down in the sun, but your shoes are in the way.
And he knows if he moves them that he's going to yell that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm going to go help him out with that briefly.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I'm going to talk about this week's Facebook group discussion of the week. It's a May 27th post from Tommy, who I believe is, he's a Las Vegas local. He was at VIMF last year, friend of the show. Great post on his question was, what is the one place or thing about Las Vegas that got you hooked? And it's been really fun to watch the responses to that one because for some people it's like, oh, the first time I saw the neon lights. For others, it's the first time I had a tremendous run at a craps table. All kinds of cool stuff. But you read that and you're like, yes, this thread, this discussion perfectly summarizes why we're all Las Vegas geeks. We all have had that moment or that place or that thing that solidified our love for Vegas. And it's really fun to read. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes.
What was yours?
You know what? I was thinking about that. It is tough. And I would say I was having a hard time narrowing it down to one. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to. I haven't posted anything on there, but I wanted to. But I was like, I'm split between two things. But I think I would probably go with O'Shea's, the original O'Shea's.
Oh, yeah.
I love, for whatever reason, I loved going in that place as soon as we got to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. having that first drink yep. and feeling like, fuck yeah, I'm
Here
in
I
Las
am.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Machines are clinking around you. It was, you know, kind of a dive bar. This is before they put in beer pong and all that shit. It was just, I don't know, it just...
There was something welcoming about it.
Yeah, that was always when I felt like, all right,
I'm here.
I'm here, this is happening.
Even though it would take me a couple days to really realize that I was there, because, you know, you wake up and it takes you a couple minutes. Oh, yeah, I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, going there, having that first drink.
Plus, it was, like, super cheap. It was, like, 75 cents
cheap.
For beer.
And we knew most of the bartenders.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It just...
There was just something about it that was really fun.
So that was the early thing that kind of made me fall in love with it. I just felt at home
yeah.
when I was there. What about you? Do you have a specific thing?
I don't know. It's probably... Is it cliche to say the Bellagio fountains?
Not at all.
Because
no.
just seeing them for the first time was just really,
There's
really
a,
cool.
A spray of water in the air and it like simultaneously reaches into your chest, pulls out your heart and like just massages it gently. Like, you're here, welcome. I was going to mm-hmm. say it rips it out and shows it to you, but that's not the right. No, it If you don't get a little choked up when you see a good Bellagio fountain show,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not human. I'm talking about the first time. After a while, although I still, you know what, when I still see some of them, I'm still choked up. It's hard not to. It's just
yeah,
so well done. So, yeah, absolutely. I think there were probably a couple of those in the responses, too.
Yeah.
That's a popular one. But we all have those things, you know.
That, yeah, it's just designed so well, and it's so, like, atmospheric. I don't know if that's the right word. You just feel... You just get caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yep. I think that is like the most...
Iconic.
Yeah, iconic thing on the strip. It's
yeah.
just... Dr. Dave had that article about icons after the High Roller got that bullshit icon award,
oh,
which
God.
Was just completely made up and nothing about icons on the strip and how you have to earn it. And the Bellagio fountains, man, that's
mm-hmm.
it. It's just spectacular.
And I don't go and watch every... We don't even really make that much time to watch the shows unless we're walking by and one happens to go off and then we stop and see it.
Right.
But
once in a while, we'll make it a point to watch and
yeah.
it's still pretty breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, that's a great Facebook discussion. I'll link to it in the show notes at 500bymidnight.com. If you're not already on the Facebook group, you should join. There's a lot of cool discussions happening over there and you can learn a lot. All right. Let's jump into our calls for the week.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, Walter here from Aloha, Oregon, and we're just wrapping up our Las Vegas trip. It is Monday, Memorial Day, and we're at the airport, as you can hear, and nothing more sad than leaving Vegas while just sitting here waiting at the airport. First of all, the bad news took a beating from the video poker machines, but, you know, that happens. But now the good news. We came down here specifically to see Bette Midler, who my wife's a huge fan of. It was a very good show, well-produced. It was in the Grand Garden Arena, which is kind of a big venue, but it was okay. It was a good show.
So she's touring. This isn't, you know, she used to be a resident performer
yeah.
at Caesars, but now she's touring and just had I think it was just a single night stop in Vegas.
Was it?
And then we went and
I'm sorry.
I think it was at MGM, wasn't it?
Yeah, MGM Grand Garden.
Penn and Teller at the Rio. And they put on a really interesting yet unexpected show. It was a very understated show. I thought it was going to be much more glitzy and glamoury like Las Vegas, but it was quite understated and was very poignant at the end as he Penn was describing why this type of showbiz meant so much to him and to Teller as well. It was a very cool ending to a show, a very un-Vegas-y ending, but it was pretty darn cool. Some of the best things that happened on this trip were the unexpected things. Like I had planned to go to the label, didn't make it there. Had planned to go to a place called the Dispensary for a jazz night, didn't go there. But instead, we found all these other cool places, the coolest of which was probably a place called the Clark County Wetlands Park. And it is basically a restoration project where they are restoring this Vegas Wash to its old self again. And by doing so, they're creating all this new environment, wildlife. It's a great little place to escape. It's just off of Tropicana, and it's a great little escape to get away from the strip from. I posted pictures on Facebook. The coolest thing about this place is it's where the casinos go when they die. All the riprap they use at this park is from old casinos, and one of the pictures I posted there was the remains of the Stardust. So it was really a nice place to go and just kind of get away from it all. It was a nice release from the hustle and bustle of this trip. Anyway, we had a great time, even though the gambling wasn't good. And I would encourage everyone to go check out that park. It's really a cool place to go. Anyway, if I think of anything else, I'll call you a little later. Great trip, great time, and hope to come back again soon. Thanks. Bye.
All right. We will hear from him a little bit later. Some more details on that park, too, explaining exactly what it is. So.
Yay. Did he say where Bette Midler was playing? Because I'm going to feel like a dumbass if he said that and then I repeated it.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Whoops.
Yep.
That just shows you how my attention span is. Our dog is doing what I predicted, and he's laying in front of the window in the sun. He's looking adorable.
Aw.
I've heard of the dispensary. I've always wanted to go. It's a dive bar off the strip, and I don't think it's walkable. I think it might be on Tropicana.
Everything is walkable if you have the time.
Oh, God.
You want to punch me today, don't you? You look like you want to punch me. All right. You're representing our
listeners. I didn't answer the question.
I know. I can tell. I didn't. Wow. Okay. I'm gonna.
You were mean to me last night. You kept calling me a dick for...
You were being a dick last night.
For taunting me with sour cream.
I know. So... I was just...
It was delicious. Mm. I enjoyed it greatly.
All right, moving on to our next caller.
Hi, Hundi. It's Andy from Des Moines. I'm in Vegas for my annual trip, and I just got done gallivanting around town on my first day here. And I have a car this year, so I'm going to be able to drive to a lot of different places. I'm staying out at a friend's house way out in East Henderson, so a car is necessary. But we went to a couple of different restaurants today. I was going to tell you about them. First one was called McCormick. And I need to get this right here. Hang on a second. McCormick and Schmidt.
It's a chain.
Pronounced in the Howard Hughes Center area.
There's a bunch of them all over the country. It's not bad for a chain.
Yeah. It's on Restaurant Row.
Yeah.
For happy hour earlier yesterday. And let me tell you, that's a hidden gem, in my opinion. The drinks were quite reasonably priced and rather large and rather delicious, I might add. And so was the food for happy hour. The appetizers were bigger than appetizer sized. I got full. They had a beef slider appetizer for, I believe it was only $4, and it filled me up. So these are some really good prices and portion sizes for a happy hour special. Plus, it wasn't that busy. It was 5 o'clock on a Thursday, and it was practically empty. I also ate just a little bit ago at Blueberry Hill on East Flamingo. I had heard about this. I had posted a question on the Facebook group about breakfast places, and that was one of them that came up, and so I decided to give it a try. And unfortunately, I was not very impressed. The decor looks like Peppermill without the flash, without the neon. So if you can imagine just Peppermill without any panache whatsoever, that's pretty much what it looks like. And then my omelet was open-faced. Isn't an open-faced omelet just scrambled eggs with stuff in it?
That's bullshit.
Pretty much what it was.
The open-faced sandwich is stupid, too. What's the point of having a sandwich if it's not going to be a fucking sandwich? It seems...
They do that a lot with turkey sandwiches, and then they put potatoes and gravy and shit on it.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't want to put in a sandwich anyway, because why would you put mashed potatoes... Unless it's a really thin layer,
yeah,
it would be very messy.
Yeah, let's call it something else, then, because it's not a sandwich.
Anyway, it was bigger than my face. It was huge. It was a lot of food. At the generous portion sizes, again, prices were reasonable, but unfortunately, it didn't really taste much better than in normal. I could whip up at home myself. The breakfast potatoes were kind of dry, and they were really hot. I mean, maybe that's what happened. They overcooked them. Anyway, I'm in Vegas for the next 4 days. I'm going to play the World Series of Poker on Saturday. Yeah, I got to have the fun of standing in a line for an hour and a half at the Rio to try to get my seat. They're doing a pre-registration thing where if you sent money in early, they'll give you a seat. But so I got one locked up. I'm not going to get shut out of the tournament. But in order to get that seat, I had to stand in a line and wait for my turn to get up to the will call window and get my seat. So that was fun. I'm glad I didn't have any plans tonight because that could pretty much kill them. Anyway, I'll be around all over the valley this weekend, and I'll give you a few more reviews in the next few days. All right, guys, take care.
All right. Thanks for the report. We will hear from him a little bit later as well.
Does he talk about his World Series of Poker stuff?
No, I think that's still going on.
Right. Well, good luck to you and everyone who is participating, who listens to the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have quite a few people who are involved in that. Everybody's been talking about the Colossus Tournament. It's huge. Yeah. And I know that several of our listeners are there for it. So good luck to all of you. Mm-hmm. It would be really fun if one of our listeners did
really well.
Super well in
yes.
that.
So. Yes. Back to mashed potatoes. Lest anyone think I hate mashed potatoes, I do love them. I just don't think sandwich form works so well.
No, I agree. Mashed potatoes are delicious. With gravy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Good move on the disclaimer, though, because I know how these things unfold.
They do.
You make one slightly negative comment about something, and suddenly it's Tim hates this, Michelle hates this. Mm-hmm. There was one of those on Facebook again this week.
Yeah, what was it that you supposedly hated?
Parasol Down, which I love, actually.
Yeah.
I think it was more the Lake of Dreams show.
Right. It was, the Lake of Dreams show is dumb.
It is.
But it's so mockable, especially yeah. when you're sitting at Parasol Down with a cocktail.
I love Parasol Down. I love both the parasols, up and down, in and out. All right. Next caller.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Naomi Carey. We're sitting here waiting for our 3 p.m. bingo game to start. That's our new obsession. It's really bad because we know all the places to go. But we just came back from the Rev, and I posted some pictures on Facebook. It was like Mad Max meets any post-apocalyptic movie. Our obsession was trying to get to a roof, so we climbed every tower that we could to try to get up there. It was very sad and very weird all at the same time. Very cool to kind of walk through places that you wouldn't normally be able to go. The cage, of course, was locked, and we couldn't find the pool. We kept trying to look for the pool and couldn't find it, so we tried to just get around to different places where we were down in the basement bowels of the valet area. It was really, really creepy. And then the funny part was we just kind of took a few things and put them on our purse and walked out a door that we found that was open. So apparently you can do that. But we'll call some more of this trip. We just got here today, and we hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for everything that you do, and thanks so much. Anything you want to add, Carrie? Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. They posted a bunch of pictures in the Facebook group, too. That was really cool to see.
That was a close second for Facebook discussion of the week because I was really
It was fascinating.
And it makes me – I'm much more interested in seeing Riviera completely closed in its current status than I would have been like when they were closing on that last day. Mm-hmm. I know like everybody loves to go to the closing of something, but I – like wandering around a closed casino, fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated by it. And they're finding like 5.5-inch floppy disks from like the 80s. And
oh, crazy.
All kinds of, there was a VHS tape, all kinds of old shit that clearly has been there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So thanks for sharing those photos. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember seeing the VHS tape. That was nuts.
Yeah, they were in like a server room or something. There was old computer stuff. Like, well, I guess they haven't updated in a while. Either that or they just keep archives for a really long time. Okay, next up.
Hey guys, Brian the Thinker. Got back recently from a trip to the Venetian. Hadn't been there in quite a while. And I'm looking at the map of the facility and I see a place called the Bourbon Room.
Love that
now,
place.
Now, I'm a huge fan of bourbon. I imagine the, you know, genteel, bucolic, southern, you know, inspired bar with all kinds of bourbon on the wall, and, you know, some old bourbon bartender behind there making mixed drinks and whatnot. So I go looking through the casino to try to find it, and I can't find it. And I go back to the map, and then I try to find the bar again, and I go back to the map. And every time I go to look for it, there's this 1980s, 90s era hair band stage in the way. A bunch of people my age dressed in clothes I used to wear as a teenager dancing to, you know, badly covered hair band music. Turns out that is the Bourbon Room, and I was horribly disappointed. So consider this a call for the Venetian to give me an actual Bourbon Room and to change the name of the hair band place to something fitting. Thanks. Have a good day. Enjoy the show.
So the Bourbon Room is a tie-in to the Rock of Ages musical that is playing
yes.
there.
Don't they have a bar in the musical that's
yeah.
actually called the Bourbon Room? So then they took the bar outside of the musical so people who don't want to see the musical
there you go
hang out and have drinks,
and they kept the theme.
Yep.
So that's and we've why it's that
been there a couple times and have thoroughly enjoyed ourselves.
I could sit there all day just watching music videos from my youth.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm
and drinking tasty beverages
and bourbon. So really, once you've got the bourbon, doesn't matter what's around you. Not after you've had a few of them.
Yeah, not after you've had a few.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in with Walter again.
Hey, Tim and Joe. Walter here again. I said I'd forget something, and of course I did. One complaint. Bette Midler, professional band, charging lots of tickets, for lots of money for tickets. Start your show on time. It was a half hour late, and that's just no good. Now, I can't complain too loudly because we got upgraded to a lot better seats. So kind of a hollow complaint. But, you know, we play enough of the tickets. Both my wife and I are musicians. Start the dang show on time.
Pretty much every arena concert starts half an hour after the ticket time.
Because
I can't remember. People can't
show up on time. Is that why?
I don't know. I can't remember the last time that we were at an arena show where
it started at the... Yeah.
It rarely happens.
Yeah. And you don't really care for that. Well, maybe not so much the arena shows because it's an expectation now, but I just remember when we saw Adam Lambert on the beach and how it took several hours for him to take the stage, and you were super, super crabby.
That was beyond the expected. He was like an hour and a half. He was way after the opening act.
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge gap there. So it wasn't even that the show started late. It was that.
That he started late.
Yeah. That was a whole ridiculous thing. So,
and you have an opinion about how Vegas time is very valuable, and if you're just standing around waiting for something, it's a waste of your Vegas time.
I was not happy. And then the show wasn't that good, so.
Yep.
Should have expected that from Adam Lambert, though. I don't know.
Number two, very disappointing that Las Vegas seems to be turning into nightclub, day club, and that's all that's advertised. DJs, I have absolutely no idea who they are, cool names, but I come from a land of live musicians, so I'm kind of disappointed that Vegas is going away from that in a big way, and that's my old man complaint. But the last thing was another unplanned visit, and that was to, and that's not a complaint, it's a yay, and that was to the Liberace Mansion. It had fallen into disrepair. A fellow bought it for like $500,000 in the process of fixing it all up. We went there and just kind of pulled over and started looking around, and out he came, and not Liberace, of course, but the guy that bought it. And he was really nice and answered our questions and just spent a couple minutes chit-chatting with him about the property and what he plans to do with it. So it's really great that some landmark like that is being fixed up. And it's kind of one of those things just hidden in plain sight. It's right off of Tropicana in Paradise area. So it was really kind of fun seeing that, too. Anyway, if I did anything else, I'll give you a call. But it was fun seeing a piece of history like that being brought back to life. Anyway, talk to you later. Thanks for the podcast. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call.
So something he said reminded me of something Hunter said on the most recent Vegas Gang.
Yes.
How it would be nice if there were some properties that catered to people who don't love the day clubs and the nightclubs. But I think as long as that's turning the profits that it's turning,
it's a big moneymaker.
I mean, would there be enough money behind that to make a non day club nightclub property?
Yeah. And there are some that don't have it, but the larger ones certainly do.
And I hope I'm not misinterpreting what he said, but,
no, it's fun to misinterpret what Hunter says. I like to do it all the time. There have been some theories that the nightclub thing is kind of at its saturation point, mm-hmm. and that we're going to start seeing maybe we have seen a few that have failed, not a lot, but there have been a few.
Like Tropicana, which
right, which although you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Does Luxor still have a nightclub? I think they do. I don't know how well that's doing.
There's a bunch you don't really hear that much about, but I've got to think. At some point, we're going to start to see more of them close. And they're not going to go away. You know, there's an audience. And
but maybe they won't be
as prominent as a part. Yeah, I don't know. Hard to say. It'll be interesting to see long term, like 10 years from now, how big is the nightclub thing going to be? I have no idea. Is it still going to be making that much money where all the new casinos feel obligated to have three nightclubs and a day club? And all? I don't know.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Certainly, you see a new place like the Cromwell making a killing on their nightclub, and I don't think it's going anywhere soon.
Honestly, I mean, I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but that's such a great space.
It is beautiful. You could use it for other things and it'd still be beautiful, but...
Yeah. But would it be as profitable?
Probably not.
Could you get that many people up there at once?
The 33-minute thing, the overs have it.
Oh, okay.
We're already creeping up on that. So, all right, let's move along to our next caller.
Tim and Michelle, it's Eddie from Orange County again.
Hello, Eddie.
I want to tell you about our stay downtown. For the anniversary trip, I had booked a two-story spa tower suite at the Golden Nugget for the wife and I. And I'll tell you, I think the biggest perk of that suite was when we pulled in probably about noon on Monday to check in. The check-in line was enormous at the Golden Nugget. But when you, I guess, book the spa tower suites, you are given the VIP check-in privilege. So I went in their VIP check-in room, and there was no one in line, so that was great. They got us in and out pretty quick, and we took our stuff and went upstairs, or had the bellman take our stuff upstairs. And the wife loved the room. It was a beautiful room, by far the best room I've ever been in Vegas. A full wet bar downstairs, big screen TV, leather couches, a full stereo sound system, disc changer, DVD player. A workstation, dining table, everything, the works down there. And then upstairs, the king bed with a lounge chair next to it. And then the bathroom was really cool upstairs. You had your jacuzzi tub, and his and hers sinks. On the other side was a large oversized shower / steam room, a makeup vanity area, the closet, and the restroom upstairs. And the view was over the pool and the adult pool, the hideout, and the shark tank. And couldn't ask for a better view. It was great. And I can't say enough of the room, full two-story floor-to-ceiling windows. It was a very, very great experience at the Golden Nugget. For our dinner to celebrate, I had made reservations, and we went to Hugo Cell at the Four Queens, our first time going there. And, wow, I cannot speak highly enough about the service there. Each table gets three servers, two waiters, and a busser. And I wanted an old school steakhouse. I wanted an old school drink. I ordered a Manhattan. They asked if I wanted cherries. I said yes. They brought me my tumbler with ice and the cherries. And he had a small ice bucket which had a carafe in it, in which he poured the Manhattan out of, and then he put the leftover in the carafe so I could top my drink off whenever I wanted.
Nice.
But unbeknownst to me, that carafe was huge. There was probably 2.5, almost 3 Manhattans in that thing.
Oh.
So I can't complain about that. I had the prime rib. My wife had the New York steak. We loved it. The salad they make table side was delicious. And then they bring you chocolate-covered fruits for dessert. And because it was our anniversary, they brought us a volcano lava mousse thing that was delicious. We were so stuffed. We wanted to get the banana splasher they make table side, but we couldn't do it. But I can't recommend Hugo Cellar enough. It was a great time, and it was more formal than I thought it would be. I was expecting to pay probably twice what our bill was, so I was pleased with that. Gambling for the trip, I've got nothing of note. I'm going to go with a karma donation. Definitely worked out with a beautiful, fun, pleasant trip, but the gambling, not so much. But that just means I got to work harder next time, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. And I look forward to hearing your guys' next show and seeing you guys at them. Thanks. Bye.
All righty. Right. Thanks for the call. I'd like a picture of Manhattan.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
And I would also like someone to carry me out of the restaurant.
I know.
Yeah. Heard great things about Hugo Cellar. Still haven't tried it, but would like to someday.
Those big steakhouse meals are a killer.
Momentum wise?
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, that was the greatest meal ever. I want to sleep for the next 14 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So many. Yeah, I like those classic Vegas restaurants, too.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's cool. A lot of personal attention, and that is high on the list. We hear a lot of good things about Hugo Cellar. All right, moving along.
Hey, Bob, honey. Good morning. It's Guillermo from California.
Hello, Guillermo.
Working on a little trip to the Pacific Hawaii to see my Eric Carey. Started out at Lago, a new restaurant by Julian Serrano at Bellagio. Very nice. Nice view of the fountains when you get up front. Very bright. The drinks are phenomenal. The food just as good. A little pricey, but Vegas pricey, so it was good. It was worth it. The lamb chops were amazing. My drink had a diamond with gold in it, a little over the top, but delicious. And she had a couple other drinks. All were good. Went to see Mariah Carey. Great show. She started off a little slow, cracked once, which is a little weird to hear the voice crack. But after that, she got her flow of things and finished off really strong. Highly recommend the show. wasn't full, probably about 85%. I thought it would have been sold out for Saturday night of Labor Day weekend. We also made a quick stop in before the...
Oops, cut out there for a second.
A cup of coffee and just to hang out for a little bit. Highly recommend that place in the Bellagio lobby. And for the end of the night, we went to the Lily Lounge. If you're in your early 30s, late 20s, like we are, and don't want the club boom scene, but still want some good music, Lily Lounge is a place to go. Playing the 90s hip-hop that wasn't too loud, and they had a ton of seating that didn't require a bottle service. So it was a good place to drink, dance a little, and hang out without feeling oopsie or standing in line. Keep up the good work. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right. Great reports. We appreciate it. Lago has been getting quite good reviews since opening a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
Yep, at Bellagio. I like Bellagio. Mm-hmm. Now that you were talking about the fountains, I want to be standing in front of them really bad right now. I might have to geek out on YouTube later on. I ever have that where I'm sure you have, get into like the Vegas frame of mind and just
go down the YouTube wormhole
2 hours later on watching YouTube videos, and it'll go from like Bellagio fountain views shows to all kinds of other ridiculousness. There's like a never-ending source of things to put you in a Vegas-y mood on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, let's check in with Andy again.
Five Hundy, Andy from Des Moines.
Hello, Andy
here
from
Vegas
Des Moines
for my trip. I have a few things I'd like to talk about. So, first of all, Michelle, plug your ears. You don't want to hear this. So I had breakfast at Dupar's. I didn't like it. I'm sure it's just maybe just one incident, but I thought the food was okay. And I thought it was a little overpriced. The decor reminds me of cheap Bill's or cheap Victorian room at Burberry Bill's, if you remember that place.
Love the Victorian room.
It was a good place. But anyway, yeah, so I was a little disappointed in Dupar's. But hey, you know, it happens.
Yep.
I did stop it.
Thoughts?
Well, that's okay. At least you tried it. You don't have to go back. Then more pancakes for me.
It would be funny if anytime somebody didn't like the place, you get extra pancakes next time you're there at no charge.
I can barely finish the ones I get. Somebody did say you can request a single pancake as opposed to
the how much for one rib?
Yes.
While I was downtown, I was playing at Binion's, and that didn't go so well, so you don't need to hear that. But I did stop in the D, and because I wanted to see what the long bar was all about. And, you know, the long bar is long. It's also very cool. I like all the TVs on the walls. I want to watch some sports and drink a beer, play some video poker. I didn't win, but hey, that's how I'm running today. Just not a very good day for the gambling. Oh, let's see here. What else did I do today? Oh, yeah, I ate a BLT burger in the Mirage, and it consistently continues to impress me. I like BLT burger. I had the I-80 burger. It was a peppercorn bacon on top of a juicy succulent burger and a nice bun, and it was really good. I liked it a lot. BLT is on the top three of burger places in Vegas. Let's see, what else happened today? That's about it for the food and right towards the gambling where I'm just sucking ass. It has not been a good trip for me so far, but tomorrow is I'm playing a little series of poker, so see if I can turn it around. If there's ever a time to run good, it would be during the World Series of Poker, where I'm putting in hundreds of dollars and hoping to cash out for thousands, if not tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands.
Or millions of thousands.
If I'm super lucky. I hope that karma donation comes through. Why else would I give you money?
Right.
Kidding. Kidding, Tim. I give you money because I like your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not because I want something in return.
We have nothing anyway, to offer in return.
That's all for today. I'll call you tomorrow and see. I'll tell you how it goes. All right, guys. Later.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
See, now I want BLT Burger.
You know what? BLT Burger and Strip Burger are two places I absolutely love, and
we never get to them nearly enough.
It's been ages since we've gotten either of those. Again, going back to the thing we talk about almost every week, too many fucking options. Not a bad problem to have.
No,
I'm happy
not a bad
to have too many options.
But,
man, having to make the choices when it comes to food gets harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me nuts. But yeah, BLT, I think the particular burger he mentioned, I'm fairly certain I've had that one before.
Yum.
And it's delicious. Oh. It's been on the menu for a long time. Okay, a couple more calls.
Aloha, Tim and Michelle. It's Brian from Orange County.
Hello,
Brian. I was just listening to your latest podcast, and I'm in awe that you have not yet been to the Bond Bar at Cosmos, and you love the bars at Cosmopolitan so much. Bond Bar is actually probably my second favorite after Chandelier, but That bar is great for people watching, especially the Walk of Shame, as people go in and out those big doors right there up on the strip. Not only that, in the evening, you've got the girls that are dancing up in the lighted cubes. But even better, of course, are the craft cocktails, and they change that menu quarterly. And I encourage you to look for John or Cody. I think those are their two best bartenders. And if you see something on the menu that you're not falling in love with, these are the guys to ask to make you something special. And it just always turns out outstanding. And their video poker slots, although the pay tables aren't better than the rest of the place, do seem to be looser. I walk away ahead almost every time I sit down at that bar for an hour or two and drink their $15 to $17 drinks and not pay for them. And pull out a little money out of the video poker machine. So I encourage you to go to the Bond Bar. Love listening to the show. Keep it up. Cheers and mahalo.
All right. Thank you for that report. I think we saw a girl fight right outside of Bond once when we were eating at the Henry?
The Henry, yeah. I almost said Henry's because I say that in jest all the time.
I know. Told you. We got to stop doing that. Yeah, I remember seeing
a little...
It is usually entertaining in that area of the casino, just because, especially at night where the dancers are going. And so, yeah, I can imagine sitting there and watching the people heading in and out would certainly add to the environment of that bar.
Oh, yeah.
We might have to spend some time there one of these days.
Yep. And I do like fancy drinks.
The bars of Cosmo in general, man, love them. See, oh my God, I'm getting into one of those.
Gotta go to Vegas modes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
All these calls are doing it. They're putting me into Vegas mode.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Final call. Let's check in with Walter one more time.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. Walter here again from Oregon. I felt a little rambly last time. I was sitting there in the airport all depressed about leaving Vegas, but now that I've had like 24 hours of sleep, I wanted to clarify a couple of my thoughts. I kind of ramble on about live music versus DJs. It goes back to my argument of performers versus musicians. If you go to see a performance, don't expect to see great musicianship, expect to see and hear a performance. And that's fine. Using your line, there's more for you. But it's very sad for me to see that the performers are starting to outweigh the live musicians. With DJ, not a musician, DJ, performer. And there's a street version of that too. I think it's kind of weird that at one point in time I complained about all the porn slappers. Now they are way outnumbered by the quote unquote street performers, which are merely people standing around in Mickey Mouse costumes that look like they got drunk behind a car for 100 miles or so. So I don't see how you can call that performance. I don't get it, but, I guess more for somebody else.
I agree with that part.
They're
doing nothing. It's like, okay, so you went out and bought a costume and you're just standing there. Good for you.
It's worthy of nothing. The performers versus musicians thing. I guess my thought on that is at least there's a choice. There still are plenty of live music shows. You might have to, you know, do a little bit more digging to make sure that you're going to a decent one, but there are options, and that's a good thing. So skip the Britney Spears performance if you want to see live music and, see – what the hell? Go see Matt Goss. He actually gets really good reviews. People like him. So,
and does he have a – pretty solid backing band.
Yeah, he's got a live band and all that. So there are certainly options. It's just a
matter of doing the research and finding the right one.
Yeah, and he is right. There's been more of a shift to backing tracks and DJs and things like that. But there's still some pretty good live shows if you look for them. Okay.
And unfortunately, part of it is the expense of that, like if you have a full orchestra.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago. With the Frank Sinatra show at Venetian and Showstoppers, I think, has an orchestra. Celine had an orchestra. I'm not sure now. Her comeback, it sounded like they might be scaling that back a little bit. So, but there's a big cost to that. And thus, the Elvis
Which
show.
You want to pay the people who are supporting you, so...
The Elvis Experience show, which just ended at Westgate, I know that had a big orchestra. That was only scheduled for a 5-week run, and that's done. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if they're going to bring back some other Elvis show. But there are still a few of them with a lot of live musicians. Yeah. But
Olivia Newton-John.
She had a small band, but
they were really good.
Yeah, so you can find them.
next thing was the Clark County Wetlands Park. A clarification on that, the more I thought about that, the less I explained it, and that is it contains the runoff from all the storm drains, all the hills, everything. Everything you see go through a storm drain, it ends up there, and you think, well, gosh, that's gross and filthy. But the way they have it set up, the land filters out all of the impurities, and the water coming out of it goes straight to Lake Mead. Crystal clear, beautiful water, fun place to go. One thing I noticed is Vegas is starting to narrow its field of what it offers and who it offers it to. Big push for the nightclubs, not my scene, great, more for someone else, but that's driving the price of everything else up. And it used to be fun to go to Vegas for an inexpensive getaway, not near as inexpensive anymore. It's becoming very resortish and too resortish for my blood, actually. So I'm kind of disappointed that it's narrowing that field and offering opportunities to a much narrower crowd. Am I falling out of love with Vegas? The Strip. I think I might be falling a little bit out of love with the Strip, and I used to love the Strip. So I guess now I need to give downtown a better shake, much to your suggestions. So I'm looking for some good old school Vegas. I think that niche exists. I'm just not sure where to find it, and I'll keep going back and keep trying to find it. Thanks for the great job on the podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All righty. Thanks for the call.
Correct that he will find it downtown.
Yeah, if he's looking for old Vegas, that's where it lives.
And yeah, prices are a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Drink specials are plentiful.
Mm-hmm. And fun to be had by all.
Yes.
All right. Before we go, Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. I chose a book this week called Smoking Meat, The Essential Guide to Smoked Barbecue. Because it's, again, summer, barbecue season. What's better than smoked meat? Nothing. Well, Vegas is better than smoked meat, but
oh, good.
Get some smoked meat in Vegas. I don't know. Anyway, it's a book. I don't even remember what it cost. I forgot to put the price down. Let's say $14. I don't know if that's true or not. I'll post a link to that in the show notes. Thanks to everybody who's been using our Amazon link before buying stuff over at Amazon.com. We do appreciate it. It helps support the show, and you're not spending anything additional on top of what you're paying regular Amazon prices. They have everything there. We use Amazon a lot, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
It's very helpful. I don't like leaving the house, so it's nice to have everything delivered to me. Okay, thank yous for karma donations this week. We've got a bunch of them. Chris with a recurring karma donation.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. We do appreciate it. The previously heard from Nyan and Carrie karma donation. Carrie was in search of his first elusive royal flush. I'm not sure if he got it or not.
I hope so. But
hope you had good luck, and it looked like you had a good time. Kenneth with a karma donation for a trip coming up in June. Also seeking his first royal.
Good luck.
That seems to be the thing that... Remember the show In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy?
Yes, I was just thinking of that, actually.
If Leonard was still with us, it would be great if he had an In Search Of the first royal. Mm-hmm. And it was like this long investigative piece that culminated with
somebody actually hitting a royal.
I don't know how that would work, but all of our listeners who haven't hit royals seem to be in search of them. Mm-hmm. Richard from Kansas. Now, Richard had a really good Facebook post, too, regarding this. So he had a karma donation for a surprise Vegas trip that just started yesterday or a couple days ago for his wife Amy's 40th birthday. And a surprise trip is hard to keep under your hat. And he did it. He didn't tell her about it until a few hours beforehand. And bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. And people were chiming in awe that he was, first of all, able to keep the secret. And then second of all, like, everybody was like, that would be the greatest thing. I'd love for that. Yes. It's hard to pull that off, though.
Yeah, it
is. Because you got to deal with, like, work schedules and having things taken care of and pets kenneled and whatever else.
Right.
But bravo to Richard. Mm-hmm. Great 40th birthday present. Dane and Lauren with a karma donation for an upcoming trip in the middle of June. They say they love the show and to keep up the great work.
Mm, thank you.
We
good
will,
luck,
and
you
we
guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Rosina from Maryland, heading to Vegas in early June. Good luck. And
good
thank
luck.
You.
Thank you.
Gary with a karma donation for a trip beginning today.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott from Appleton, karma donation for an upcoming World Series of Poker trip. Once again, many listeners there for that.
Yes. Good luck with your participation in that.
Good luck. He said he thanked us both for hard work and dedication and said, we make the world a better place.
Aw, thank you.
I don't know about that, but glad we make your world a better place somehow.
Yes.
And Mike with a karma donation, thanking us for the podcast, and he's spending five nights in June at at the Link. First time he's stayed there and is really looking forward to it. And we wish you luck and hope
have a great time.
Fantastic time. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate all the support. We appreciate you sticking with the show. So we are clocking in. It's over 50 minutes. How is it that we have nothing to talk about?
I don't know.
Almost an hour. What the hell? Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you for providing calls so we have content for this week's show.
I know. I just wanted to do a show even though I didn't have a lot of newsy stuff. I'm like, well, let's do it anyway.
Yep.
I'm glad we did. It put me in a Vegas-y mood.
Good.
Made me happy.
Good.
500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address if you want to send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you. As always, thank you so much for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We'll be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week.